What if I told you that one of the most intelligent, highly reactive sensory systems in your entire body isn't actually located inside your skull?
Oh man, what do you mean?
Fascia.
What? Oh yeah.
What's fascinating is that fascia isn't just something that wraps around muscles. It surrounds and extends through virtually every system of the body. And once you start looking at anatomy through that lens, it really challenges the traditional compartmentalized view we've been taught for centuries.
Hell no, that will take some convincing.
Well, what's really exciting is that advances in imaging, biomechanics, neurophysiology, and immunology are changing the way we think about fascia. It's moving from being almost an anatomical afterthought to becoming an important player in how we understand human movement, pain, and overall system health.
So if fascia isn't part of your health practitioner's thinking, then they may not be seeing the whole picture.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's important to know.
It really is. And that brings us to the mission of today's topic. We are exploring the human fascial system, but we're doing it through a beautifully bizarre conceptual lens, which is the idea that our fascial tissue acts as our inner octopus. A surprising thought experiment.
Oh, what?
Yeah. By comparing fascia to something entirely alien, yet biologically real, like a cephalopod, we can kind of break out of our rigid anatomical thinking.
Really?
Yep, and start asking entirely new questions about human physiology.
Absolutely, what an idea!
And just to set the stage here, this inner octopus concept comes to us from James Flaxman.
Who? Who's that?
Well, to be clear, right up front, James is an experienced manual therapist with decades of experience. He's not a clinical researcher.
Okay, got that.
But he put together this thought experiment after reading some really top-tier science writing, specifically Peter Godfrey Smith's book Other Minds, which explores cephalopod intelligence, and also Neil Shubin's evolutionary deep dive, Your Inner Fish.
Wow, they sound like cool books.
So James basically asked, you know, if evolutionary biology proves we have an inner fish, could our dynamic, reactive fascial web be acting like an inner octopus?
What a strange question.
Right. So our goal today is to figure out if our connective tissue actually possesses a distributed intelligence of its own.
What? Distributed intelligence of its own?
Yes, exactly. We want to separate the poetic metaphors from the biological reality and see what holds up.
So cool. I love this thought experiment.
We want to identify where this comparison makes brilliant sense and where it breaks down.
Yes.
See how it completely changes the way we view our own bodies.
Okay.
It's an intriguing framework. I mean, productive metaphors have always been a cornerstone of how scientific understanding advances, and this in particular forces us to look at peripheral anatomy as an active participant, rather than just this historical, passive packing material.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Because to see why the octopus metaphor gets some traction in the first place, we really need to look at how an octopus actually processes the physical world.
Let's do that.
Okay, they are basically the ultimate biological poster children for decentralized processing. Unlike humans, we default to picturing a centralized brain pulling all the strings.
Right, the CEO in the skull.
It's exactly the CEO.
Okay.
But an octopus operates completely differently. It has roughly 500 million neurons, and the wild part is that about 3/4 of those neurons aren't even in its head.
No way.
Yeah, they are distributed throughout its 8 arms.
That is wild.
So, meaning those arms are out there, you know, sensing the environment, tasting whatever they touch, and executing complex movements semi-autonomously.
Like, without routing every single minor decision all the way up to the central brain.
Exactly. They are essentially operating on site.
So cool.
Yes, there are only about like 30,000 nerve fibers connecting that vast peripheral arm system back to the central brain. So the arms are doing all the heavy lifting of processing environmental data locally.
Okay.
So let's map that concept onto the human fascial system. Because for decades, anatomists, you know, they just sliced away the fascia and threw it in the medical waste bin.
No way.
Yeah, so they could study the quote-unquote important stuff, like muscles and organs.
Right.
But clinical data now paints a completely different picture.
A completely different picture?
Yeah, because this continuous web wrapping every muscle, bone, and organ is wildly sensory.
It really is.
We're talking about sensory innervation that is many times denser than muscle tissue.
Yeah.
And it is staggering when you look at the microscopic architecture of it. Fascia isn't just, you know, sparsely populated with generic nerve endings. It is heavily packed with specialized mechanoreceptors. You basically have a highly differentiated sensor array embedded directly into the structural fabric of your body.
Right.
And to give some biological texture to that, we aren't just talking about a vague sense of touch here. The fascial web houses Pacinian corpuscles that act as high-speed detectors responsive to deep pressure, stretch, and vibration, along with other mechanoreceptor, like Ruffini corpuscles, that respond to stretch and movement.
Wow, fully loaded.
Yes. Plus, what is it, upward of 250 million free nerve endings distributed body-wide? Yes. And when you combine that incredibly dense receptor population with the fact that fascia forms this continuous, unbroken tensional network, you get a phenomenon called mechanotransduction, body-wide.
Okay, so a physical strain in my ankle is physically transmitted and felt body-wide entirely through the structural tension of the tissue itself.
Exactly.
Man, that's fascinating.
Right. The tissue itself is the messenger.
Wow. It is communicating structural reality across vast bodily distances almost instantaneously through physical deformation.
Exactly.
Okay, so is our fascia basically acting like a bunch of mini brains spread all over the body, just like those octopus arms?
Well, because if my IT band is making localized decisions without my brain's input, that sounds like actual computation. Okay, yeah. So here is where we need to draw a hard line and kind of ground the discussion. This is where Flaxman's beautiful metaphor snaps. Yeah, it breaks down here.
Oh no.
It does, because there's a very vital difference between computing information and transmitting it.
Okay, so if it's not a mini brain, what is the functional distinction there?
Well, let's look back at the octopus arm. The octopus has actual ganglia.
Right?
Like clusters of complex neural tissue in its arms. Those neurons can receive an environmental input. They integrate it, and then they generate a new organized motor output.
Okay.
They're actively computing a response.
I see.
Fascia, on the other hand, houses millions of nerve endings, like we said.
Yeah.
But those are exclusively sensory receptors. They gather data and send signals to the spinal cord and the brain.
Oh.
There is zero evidence, James has come across, that fascia possesses its own neural circuit architecture to generate an organized motor output.
Nevertheless, it is a very sensory system.
Ah, I see. So it's a mechanical transfer, not a cognitive decision.
Exactly. Transmitting mechanical force through a web is functional, crucial to human movement, but it isn't an electrochemical computation.
Right.
Think of a guitar string.
Okay.
When you pluck it, it transmits vibrational information from one end to the other beautifully.
Yeah.
It responds to tension, but you would never call a guitar string a nervous system.
Right.
Suggesting that when fascia gets gummy and glued down, like, you know those stubborn knots we all get in our shoulders?
Oh, yeah. We all have those.
Yeah. And the tissue sensation changes to unpleasant. Like, James postulates that liberating or softening the fascia makes it more functional and intelligent again. More octopus-like.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very appealing concept, especially in the manual therapy world, where the whole goal is often tissue release. But the physiological reality requires careful nuance here.
Okay.
Because it is undeniably true that dense, stiff, or fibrotic fascia restricts movement.
Yeah.
When those layers of tissue get stuck together,
it drastically reduces proprioceptive acuity.
Meaning?
Meaning your brain loses the high-definition picture of where your body is in space.
Oh, right, right. Because those sensors we spoke about are basically trapped inside stiff, immovable tissue.
Yes.
So they literally can't deform, which means they can't fire accurately.
Precisely. But the reverse assumption that completely soft or totally loose fascia is the ultimate goal is actually physiologically flawed. Wait, really? Yeah, because receptors require a specific degree of stiffness to function.
Oh.
They rely on tensional reference frames.
Okay, so going back to your guitar string analogy, right? If the string is totally loose and floppy, plucking it doesn't generate any sound. It requires a baseline tension to vibrate and actually carry a signal.
Yes. If the fascial web lacks architectural organization and healthy baseline tension, those receptors cannot generate meaningful signals.
A totally loose fascial web would be a sensory black hole. Interesting.
So healthy fascia isn't just soft, it is dynamically taut.
Okay, so if it doesn't compute like a decentralized brain, and it requires this baseline tautness to function mechanically, right?
It's less like an independent octopus arm and more like a highly advanced body-wide tripwire or sensor array that feeds the central processor.
Okay.
That is the most accurate way to refine the analogy.
Yeah, okay.
The octopus metaphor opens the door to realizing the tissue is active.
Right.
But the reality appears to be is that it's a very sophisticated sensory array. It exists to feed and inform the central nervous system, not to replace it.
Okay, so if this massive intelligent sensor array didn't come from a neural origin, like the octopus arm, how did we end up with it?
That is a great question.
Right?
To figure that out, we have to look way past the evolution of the central nervous system.
We really do.
We have to look past the inner fish entirely. I mean, Neil Shubin's brilliant work traces human anatomy back to early vertebrate fish, you know, like the Tiktaalik fossil.
Yeah.
But humans and octopuses split on the evolutionary tree long before bones or brains ever existed.
Right.
Just tiny, soft-bodied, symmetrical creatures floating in ancient oceans. That is the divergence point.
Yes.
And we represent two completely independent evolutionary experiments in building complex life over 500 million years.
Wow.
After that split, the vertebrate lineage, you know, our ancestors, we heavily invested in intelligence. We stuffed all our processing power into a spinal cord and a massive brain in a skull. The cephalopod lineage, on the other hand, distributed it outward. So human fascia absolutely did not evolve from octopus ganglia, but we did share that ancient bilateral ancestor before the split.
We did.
And before nervous systems even existed, those early single-celled and multicellular organisms, they still had to solve massive physical problems in their environment.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, they had to know if they were being crushed by water pressure, or stretched, or how to anchor themselves to a surface, for example.
Of course.
And to survive, they developed an extracellular matrix with a variety of toolkits.
That's the ECM, the extracellular matrix.
Exactly. This ancient toolkit, functioning within the ECM, is made up of structural proteins like collagen, cellular anchors called integrins, actin cytoskeletons, and mechanosensitive ion channels.
Okay. And because those mechanosensitive ion channels are opening and closing based purely on physical stretching, right? They're basically acting as microscopic mechanical switches, right?
Yes, exactly.
They allow a cell to feel physical pressure without needing a nerve.
Yeah, that is the crucial evolutionary breakthrough. Long before there were nerves to transmit a feeling, cells were using their extracellular matrix to sense physical changes and chemically remodel their environment.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Cell matrix communication predates the nervous system entirely, which implies we don't just have an inner fish, we have an inner mechanoreceptive animal. I love that phrase.
Me too.
So we have an ancient non-neural system that was detecting and responding to the physical world hundreds of millions of years before brains had ever evolved.
Wow.
And, you know, evolution is incredibly conservative.
Right.
It didn't just throw away that brilliant, functioning, mechanoreceptive web when it eventually developed brains.
Yeah, why would it?
Right. It simply draped the nervous system directly on top of the ancient ECM framework.
Okay, so it's like a modern city laying down high-speed fiber-optic network cables through the original centuries-old brick sewer tunnels.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
The new, fast electrical system relies on the physical architecture of the ancient mechanoreceptive one to get where it's going.
That is a brilliant way to conceptualize the structural relationship.
Okay, so let's pull this 600 million-year-old evolutionary toolkit into the modern human body.
Let's do it.
If we aren't using the term computation because there are no localized mini-brains...
What?
So in the current scientific literature, it is defined as a distributed mechanobiological information processing system.
Okay, distributed mechanobiological information processing system, which sounds incredibly dense.
It's a mouthful.
Certainly.
Yeah, but breaking that down, it means the fascia operates as a continuous, closed-loop adaptive system.
Okay.
Right. It's incredibly elegant in practice. Let's say you take up a new sport, like rock climbing.
Yes.
You are suddenly subjecting your hands and forearms to intense novel mechanical loads.
Oh yeah, huge amounts of grip strength.
Right. That physical force literally deforms the architecture of your fascia.
Sure does.
So the physical pull tugs on those integrins and mechanosensitive ion channels we mentioned, and the cells living inside the fascia, the fibroblasts, they feel that mechanical stretch and literally alter their behavior in real time.
The fascial system is amazing.
Yes. The fibroblasts interpret that specific line of tension, they alter their gene expression, and they start producing more collagen to reinforce that exact pathway.
Wow.
They basically thicken and strengthen the web where it's needed, right?
So the fascia is actively remodeling its own physical structure based on mechanical inputs, completely independent of the conscious brain.
Completely independently.
Wow.
Which actually brings us to perhaps the most mind-blowing concept we're covering today.
What's that?
The Stecco biomechanical model is foundational here. It emphasizes the significant role of fascia. It completely shifts how we understand sensory input and brain function.
Right.
Because it proposes that fascia doesn't just passively house our nerve endings, the fascia's evolving physical state acts as an input transformation. Like, it actually pre-processes the physical state of the body before those signals ever become electrical action potentials sent up the central nervous system.
Yeah.
Think about the profound implications of that. It's massive.
Right.
If the fascial web around your shoulder joint is fibrotic, thick, or restricted from, say, years of poor posture or an old injury...
Yeah.
Those mechanoreceptors we spoke about are trapped in a distorted physical environment.
Yes.
So when you move that joint, the trapped sensors fire off a completely different electrical signal than they would if the fascia were healthy and gliding smoothly.
Okay.
The physical state of the tissue filters, amplifies, or dampens the sensory data delivered to the central nervous system.
Wow.
The fascia translates the physical world into a language the nervous system can understand, but it heavily edits the script along the way based on its own local tensional environment.
So what does this all mean? Fascia's like the sound engineer at a concert or something?
I like that, yeah. Mixing and adjusting the audio based on the acoustics of the room before the sound ever reaches the speaker, which would be our brain.
Right.
The engineer isn't writing the music, like it's not computing the motor plan like a mini brain.
No.
But the engineer absolutely dictates how the music is going to be experienced by the crowd. That is exactly the dynamic. If the fascia is tight and restricted, the brain gets a corrupted, distorted signal.
Wow.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive, you know, why should someone going about their daily life,
Maybe they're prepping for a meeting or just trying to stay active and healthy. Why should they care about their inner mechanoreceptive animal?
Yes, why? How does this actually change the way we interact with our own bodies?
Well, they should care because it radically challenges a fundamental Western medical assumption.
How?
For generations, we've treated the central nervous system as the only seat of bodily intelligence.
Yeah, that's right.
We treated peripheral tissues like fascia as dumb meat, just passive scaffolding.
Exactly, just waiting for orders from the brain.
But if the body is actually a distributed system with locally adapting sensory arrays, it completely reframes how we look at pervasive issues like chronic pain.
Yeah.
It changes the therapeutic paradigm entirely.
It does.
Like, someone might suffer from chronic lower back pain, and an MRI might show no herniated discs, no pinched nerves or tissue damage.
Right. Structurally, the spine and tissues look fine.
Exactly. And under the old model, we hit a dead end and just prescribed painkillers, diagnosing something like non-specific lower back pain.
Yes.
But through the lens of a better understanding of the fascial system, the problem might be that the local fascial web has become dysfunctional through a fascial pathology, a densification or other restriction of the fascia.
Oh, wow.
It is sending corrupted, pre-processed data to the brain, and the brain interprets that corrupted data as pain.
Of course.
It's incredible because it provides the biological mechanism for what manual therapists like James Flaxman have observed in their clinics for decades.
Exactly.
When you change the physical tension of the tissue, you change the pre-processed sensory data the brain receives, which can literally reduce or eliminate pain and improve function.
That makes sense now.
And the hard science is expanding this far beyond physical pain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we now recognize fascia as a primary interoceptive organ.
Okay.
Fascia is constantly feeding massive amounts of data into the insula and the cingulate cortex, part of the body's limbic system, a whole other topic we can't go into now.
Oh, wow. The body's amazing.
It is a region of the brain directly responsible for emotion, self-awareness, and psychological processing.
Fascinating.
Exactly. There are even science articles that take this to the next logical step.
Really?
Yeah. Directly linking facial dysfunction to mental health conditions.
That is huge.
It is an explosive frontier of research. If your facial system is chronically restricted, it is constantly feeding a baseline signal of tension, threat, and restriction right into the limbic system.
Wow.
The brain processes that physical restriction and can literally manifest it as psychological anxiety or depression.
That makes so much sense.
Right. The state of the physical facial web fundamentally impacts your emotional baseline. Fascia isn't merely structural, it is deeply informational.
So the body isn't just a meat suit driven by a computer in the skull?
Not at all. It is an unbroken 600 million-year-old sensory web continuously communicating with itself.
Beautifully put.
The inner octopus metaphor, you know, it might not be literal. Our fascia isn't computing motor plans and decentralized ganglia.
Right, right.
But it gets at a profound biological truth.
Okay.
It forces us to acknowledge a whole body intelligence that we've ignored for centuries.
Yes, it does.
And that is the immense value of a great thought experiment like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It breaks you out of an entrenched perspective and makes us look at our own anatomy as the wildly dynamic, interconnected system it truly is.
It certainly does that. I know I'm going to be thinking about my connective tissue entirely differently from now on.
Me too.
Yeah, that's great.
Which actually leads me to a final thought I want to leave our listeners with today.
Oh, let's hear it.
Just something to mull over as you go about your day.
Okay.
If our fascial system is a 600 million-year-old preprocessor that is constantly remodeling our physical structure based on physical inputs before our brain even registers them, could our daily, unconscious, repetitive habits, like slouching over a desk or staring down at a phone,
be quietly rewriting the actual physical software of our bodily awareness and mental state without our conscious brain having any say in the matter?
Wow, that's wicked.
If the body isn't just the structure, but the intelligent web that builds the structure, what kind of structural web are you weaving right now?
That is a powerful thought to sit with.
Okay, that's all wrapped up. Until next time, keep diving deep.
This podcast was researched, scripted, and developed by James Flaxman, a healthcare practitioner in South Australia, with the aid of AI tools, August 2026.